As you're finding your seat, if you will open your copy of Scripture to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew 28, verses 1 through 10. After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descending from heaven came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. For fear of him, the guards shook and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid. I know that you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised, as he said. Come see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He has been raised from the dead, and indeed he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him. This is my message for you.' For they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them and said, 'Greetings.' And they came to him, took hold of his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, 'Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me.'" Would you pray with me? Father God, we come to these words of life, asking the Spirit of life, who raised Jesus from the dead into new life, to breathe new life into our hearts this day. We ask that you would give us ears to hear, eyes to see, hearts to believe that the risen one who left that tomb empty 2,000 years ago continues to show up and give life today and forevermore. Would you have your way among us? And as we go from this place moments from now, help us go as those who have not only heard your word, but as those committed and resolved to do it as well. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Today we have gathered in this place to celebrate a story. And it's a story that most everyone in here has heard before, and yet we gather year after year to hear it again. Because deep in our hearts, we seem to have a hunch that this is indeed the story of life. We gather because deep in our hearts, we know that this story, by the grace of God, is somehow our story. And all too often, this world tries to suck us into settling for and believing much lesser stories. Much lesser stories about who we are and what we're about and where we're going. And so it's good for us to gather together again and again and hear this story of life together. So we begin with the story of one day that changed every day since. It was a very early Sunday morning, the first whispers of sunlight just greeting the horizon. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, they were exhausted in every possible way from just having lived through two of the most gut-wrenching days of their lives. They had watched their dear friend, the one that they had believed and hoped would be their Savior sent from God, beaten and killed and laid in a tomb before their very eyes. And in those days in between, all they could think to do was to draw near to one another, to cry on each other's shoulders, to ask those questions of why and how and what next together. Their grief, surely unspeakable. And so on that Sunday morning, they snuck out early, going to that place where his body lay, needing to be near to what was left of him, but still knowing that it was much too risky to be identified as one of his. And so they went when they thought nobody else would be there, their attempt to lay low and to grieve in solitude. And boy, did that ever backfire. Suddenly, an earthquake struck. An angel of the Lord came from heaven, and the stone that had sealed that lifeless body of Jesus in the side of the rock was rolled away. So much for the ladies trying to be covert. The guards, terrified, rolled over and became like dead men. What was going on here? The angel looked at these women and calmly said to them, "Do not fear. I know you have come looking for Jesus, but I've got good news for you, my dear ones. And the good news is that he is not here, but he is risen." The angel said, "Jesus is alive. He has conquered the grave. Come and see for yourselves. The tomb is empty, and death will never again have the final say." Astonished, Mary and Mary took a look and found that it was true. Everything that angel had said was true, and in an instant, those broken, weary hearts suddenly knew life and joy and peace like they had never known before. "Don't stick around here," the angel said. Go and tell the disciples that Jesus has been raised from the dead and that he's going to meet them in Galilee, in that very place their journey with him first began. Jesus is ready for round two. This is the story, my friends, of the day our God made a way for us to be with him fully, intimately, and forever. This is the story, my friends, of the day our God looked down at this earth and said, "Enough. Enough death. Enough despair. Enough hatred and violence and fear. Enough us against them. Enough shattered dreams and shattered relationships. Enough of people trudging through life with no purpose, with no direction. Enough power plays. Enough oppression. Enough depression. Enough injustice. Enough of those lies that say my people aren't loved and aren't worthy and aren't seen, that they're not significant, that they're not called, that they're not made to live and live abundantly. Enough of all those things that lead to death in the end, and of all those things that cause parts of our souls to die each and every day. At that empty tomb, our God looked down and he said, enough. He took all the death, all that mess upon himself, and he said, enough. This is the story of the day Jesus rose to life, leaving the things of death buried and gone, defeated. The day Jesus said, enough. This was the day Jesus became our hope and our life, our Savior. And so we proclaim again today that he is alive, that death is overcome, and everything that goes with it. This is the story of the day that they first shouted, "He is not here, but he is risen." Finally, all that has kept us down, all that has kept us apart from our God, enough of that. He is alive, and so we live. This is a story of life on that Sunday morning. And then a story of the days that followed just after. The 11 disciples that remained, they went and they waited on the mountain in Galilee for Jesus to show, just as they had been told to do by Mary and Mary. And what would you know but Jesus came. And in that place they worshiped him. And by the end of the story of Matthew, all 11 of them, they're in for good. All of them had seen the risen Lord, and from that day forth, they had a new reason to live because of him forevermore in eternity, but also a reason to fully live starting that very day. These disciples began to walk through this earth with lives that proclaim that resurrection truth enough in all they did. the fear that had compelled them to hide beneath that cross on that fateful Friday night, so afraid of being associated with Jesus. By now, there was enough of that. In upcoming days, they would stand before councils and governors and kings, and they would boldly proclaim, "We follow the risen Jesus, and we don't apologize. Do to us what you will, O rulers and O kings, but we will not turn our backs on him ever again." Our Jesus has conquered the death, and that's one thing that you guys, however powerful you may be, still cannot do a thing about. Our Jesus lives. And so the fear that kept us silent and timid before, enough. We are free to follow him completely. In those days that followed, the disciples' lives proclaimed that resurrection truth enough as they broke through barriers that for centuries had labeled some as unworthy of love. They broke bread with those that they had intentionally avoided before. In the home of the Gentile Cornelius, Peter, in the same spirit of Jesus, whose resurrection power overcame all the hatred that had put him in that grave, Peter cried out, "Enough!" And he calls Cornelius brother. A Jew and a Gentile, enemies worth for generations and generations, never to be friends, never to be in the same place. Peter looks Cornelius in the eye and says, "My brother, enough of those things that separate and divide us. For there is no longer Jew nor Gentile, male nor female, slave nor free. We are all now one in Christ Jesus. There are only brothers and sisters and children of whom the living God wants to bring into life with him. Nothing more that divides, nothing more that would exclude one from the love of Christ and the love of the people of Christ. Because the risen Jesus cried out on that resurrection Sunday, enough." Their lives after the resurrection cried out, enough. Enough just living to pay bills and survive another day. Enough just being fishermen and tax collectors. Have you ever noticed how after the resurrection, those who follow Jesus aren't primarily known by what they do to earn a paycheck ever again? And boy, could we Americans learn something from that. The stories that were told about these folks from that day on instead were stories of ordinary people engaged in extraordinary things. They were stories about walking out of prison without a single guard taking notice. They were stories about how after they returned from prison, they went immediately back to the city and continued to preach the good news of Jesus Christ. They were stories about the shadows of these faithful men falling on the sick, and they would be healed. They were stories about the dead raising to life just as Jesus had done. They were stories about missionary journeys and sermons preached and the lost coming to faith by the hundreds, even by the thousands. You know, we don't really know if Peter ever caught a fish again or if Levi ever collected another tax, because post-resurrection, the job that paid the bills was no longer enough. It was no longer enough to invest a whole life, an entire identity in. The time had now come to invest deeply in a kingdom much bigger than this one. The time had now come to toil in a garden that will far outlast the sun. Whether they kept fishing or collecting or not, it's hard to know. But what we do know from that resurrection day is that Jesus changed their priorities and gave them an identity and a purpose so much bigger than their 9-to-5 could ever do. To a people set on survival, Jesus said, "Enough of that. Live. you're free to dream big about God's kingdom and your place in it. Work is good, but don't forget to live. Enough of that. And finally, then, there's a story about today, a story about life today. Because you know it can be easy to celebrate the resurrection as something that happened a long, long time ago with benefits that will happen a long, long time from now. Something that we will only mostly enjoy when we die one day and get to be with Jesus forever. And we will, and thanks be to God for that. But before we just chalk up today as a great lesson in history that gives some great hope for some time in the future, notice this. There's this incredible verse in Romans chapter 8, verse 11. And it says, if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies also through His Spirit that dwells in you. Did you get that? Paul is saying to those who trust in the resurrection of Jesus, to those who look to Jesus as their hope of life and salvation, that the same exact Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead will give them eternal life one day. And that Spirit is also alive and well in them now, today. From that moment that in our hearts, with our lips, we say, enough. Enough of this life of trusting in my own power and my own wisdom. Enough of trying to please God on my own. Enough of not giving a care to who I'm created to be. Enough of this running from love and running from grace. Enough. The moment we say, Jesus, I'm yours. Enough. From that moment on, it says, we walk with the same power, the same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Can you imagine that? From that moment, we possess within ourselves the same Spirit by which Jesus calmed raging seas. From that moment, we possess within us the same power that dwelled in Jesus as He healed the sick and loved the unlovable and forgave the enemy and humbly served, and yes, even as He raised from the dead. That same power, that same Spirit lives in us. And today, the same Spirit, the same power that sent those first disciples into unknown, hostile territory, proclaiming the gospel message unafraid, that same power lives in us. The same power that filled them as they sat in prison cells singing songs to their God, that same Spirit fills us. The same power by which the disciples healed and loved and cast out demons and raised the dead to life, that same power lives in us, and it lives in us today. It's true. So the resurrection story for this day and this place, Belfair, Washington, on March 27th, 2016, it's got to be a story about eternal life with our God one glorious day. But it also must be a story of a people saved by the living Jesus coming alive here and now to the power of the Spirit that dwells in them. You know, I've only been here about 8 months, so I'm still a newbie and I may be completely off. But in these 8 months, I've sensed that we in this area could sure use a good dose of that life-giving, fear-relieving, resurrecting power in this place. Could we not? As I get to know our little town, there's this sense I'm getting that we live in a place where a whole lot of folks just seem to feel a little bit stuck. Literally, in some ways, there's a very large body of water that keeps us from the big city, where big decisions are made, where big things go down. But I have a sense that our assumed stuckness comes out in other ways as well. You see, I see in our community more people than average stuck in generational abuse or addiction. Parents and grandparents that, for some reason or another, gave into a life of dysfunctional relationships or of substance abuse. And now we see their children and grandchildren doing the same. Stuck. Thinking abusive love is as good as it gets. Thinking a high from a chemical is as exciting an opportunity as any given day can hold. And you know, the resurrection story in Belfair today means we get to be a people who shout, enough settling for that. Because Jesus overcame death and all the things that reek of death. And because of that, I am free to pursue relationships that reflect genuine sacrificial love. And I can foster those kind of relationships just the same. Because Jesus lives, I can actually experience a high that comes from the Holy Spirit alive and on the loose in me, letting me be a part of seeing chains broken and mountains moved and death consumed by life. And no substance has anything on that. Because of the resurrection, we get to say enough. Enough settling for a life that's only half alive. Enough. Let's really live. I see a community stuck under the burden of bills to pay and mouths to feed. People worried sick each day about finding work, and those who have found work wondering if this is all there is. Is what I'm giving 40 plus hours to a week the totality of what my life is to be about? And the resurrection story, it means we get to shout enough. Enough. Enough feeling stuck in irrelevance and insignificance. No matter where you work, no matter what you do, I tell you, there's a holy kingdom just aching to erupt before your very eyes. It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter if you spend your days in a cubicle or driving a truck around town or behind a computer screen or pouring through the classifieds. Our risen Savior is there. And he invites you to know that you were created for such a time as this, to be a part of seeing God's kingdom come to earth as it is in heaven. Wherever you are, whatever you do, Monday to Friday, 8 to 5, you surely have some colleagues or clients or some kiddos looking up to you, or some neighbors you pass by each day. And I tell you, in all of their lives, the risen Jesus is longing to live. Enough assuming it's all for nothing more than a paycheck. If Jesus lives, all we are and all we do gets to be for life, so that we and so that they may live. The same Spirit that sent Paul the tent maker on 3 missionary journeys to start no less than a dozen churches. The same Spirit that filled Peter the fisherman when he preached and saw thousands come to faith in an instant. That same Spirit lives in us. And if that be so, my friends, you are not stuck. And you're definitely not insignificant. In the resurrection story, Jesus shouted enough on all of those lies that tempt us to shrink back and settle for a life on the sidelines of the kingdom of God coming to earth. A life that's too distracted, counting the minutes until Friday to really be in the game. That's a life that is settled for enough. And Jesus says, enough of that. There's so much more. On Resurrection Sunday, we expose the enemy's lies that keep us irrelevant while God's kingdom breaks forth all around us. And we say, enough being out of the game. You have more within you than any title can possibly encompass or entail. As a child of the living God, you carry within you the very life and hope of God to offer this dying world. Enough settling for anything less than that. Enough. And finally, I see a community, a nation really, that's stuck paying more attention to how not to die than how to really live. There's millions of dollars spent each year on cosmetic surgeries to keep women feeling and looking young. I haven't seen them add any years to life quite yet. We stay in gated communities, close the blinds in our homes, lock the doors, anything to keep us out of risk, anything to buy us one more day on this earth. And in the name of not dying, we say in our hearts things like, oh, I'd never go to a place like that. Or, oh no, I'd never risk loving a person like that. Or, oh no, I'd never follow Jesus there. But my friends, if Resurrection Sunday tells us anything, it tells us that even death is no dead end, and it's nothing to be avoided. In fact, by only simply trying to avoid death, we end up avoiding life. Who would have thought? Even death is no longer an excuse for timidity or for fear, because Jesus took death head on and he rose again and he said, enough. Enough of my people just doing their best not to die. Enough of them playing it safe, thinking that by so doing they somehow control how long they get to live. Enough. The same power that enabled Jesus, who knew that he would die young, the same power that enabled him to live fully every single day, not just twiddling his thumbs, solemnly counting down the days to the end, but loving, serving, adventuring, changing the world, living to the end. That same power lives in us. Enough, friends. Enough just prolonging death. We are free to live. Because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we get to live. So let's get after it and live a little, shall we? May the story this day be a story of a people filled with the same power that raised Jesus from the grave, leaving Easter worship, shouting in their hearts and with their lips, enough. Enough settling for labels and dreams and habits and relationships and pursuits that are much too small for a Jesus who rose from the dead. Enough. Time to live because Jesus lives. Time to live because the Spirit that brought him back to life is empowering us to come back to life even today. May the story today be of a people going out these doors and in response to all the circumstances and all the people and all the things that try to convince us that we are too weak to make a difference, too small to be significant, that we are too old to dream, that we are too lost to be found, that we are too far gone to come home, that we are too outcast to be accepted, that we are too unlovely to be loved, that we are too stuck to move, that we are too numb to dead to live. May we leave this place shouting, enough! The same power that rose Jesus Christ from the grave lives in me. And so I get to walk in this earth unafraid, adventurously expectant, as one who is deeply loved, and as one who is called to a kingdom task much bigger than this world can possibly fathom. Because Jesus lives, I get to live. And any voice that tells me otherwise, I simply look at that empty tomb and I can proclaim, enough. How? More on that next week. Come back. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, I confess that every single day I settle. In one way or another, I settle for what I tell myself is good enough. I settle for just knowing you enough, for just knowing you enough, for loving others enough, for being engaged in your kingdom work enough. And yet, because of Easter Sunday, you have called for and you deserve all of me. All of my life, all of my hopes, all of my dreams, all of my love. And so this day, I confess that I've had enough of buying into the lies of being stuck. And I'm ready to live. God, we're ready to live. Thank you for the promise of eternal life because of that empty tomb. And thank you for the promise of life today because the same Spirit that left that tomb empty lives in us, not just one day, but today. Help us. Help us understand how to be led by that Spirit, and so that we may truly live. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.